Good morning, Bridge Church, in the future. Just as we were singing Jesus' name be high and lifted up, everything about Jesus be high and lifted up. But I felt this morning as I woke up that the Spirit of God was saying, lift your vision higher. Not just Jesus be lifted higher, but I felt like he said, lift your heads. God is wanting to break ceilings in your life today. He's wanting to break out by his Spirit. And he wants you to believe he's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. But he wants you to step out and meet him where he's at. And I was taken to the scripture. I'm going to go up here just so I can put it down. I was taken to the scripture in Mark about the where Jesus heals a boy with the unclean spirit. And down in it's chapter 9, verse 19, and it says, when they brought the boy to Jesus, it says, the father said, and whenever it seizes him and it throws him and he foams and he grinds his teeth and becomes rigid, so I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? And how long will I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed, and the boy fell on the ground, and it rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus said to his father, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And this is what I want you to see. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. All things. And I feel like today, Jesus wants to lift your faith, and he says all things are possible for those who believe. And immediately the father of the child cried out and he said, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And I feel like that's for some of us. I want to believe, but help me in my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we do this? And then Jesus says, it comes out by prayer and fasting. But the main thing I want you to get is that only when the father said, I believe, did something happen and the spirit came out of him. And Jesus said, come, all you have to do is believe and receive. So lift your heads up, lift your faith up today, and Jesus, full of compassion, will meet you just where you're at.
This needs punctuating, because I think as cure is going to come, this is where we're at. This morning I was reflecting on these same scriptures, but at prayer while we were doing our worship practice, Dominic brought up, he said, I feel today that the Lord is going to lift us up. He's going to lift off shackles. He's going to lift our vision higher. He's going to take us to a higher place. And as I was reading that scripture this morning, I was meditating on the part where he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the Lord helped it because he showed them. He brought an example and lifted them higher. So as cure comes, we need to see the example that he brings. Let our vision be lifted higher into these things. Let us be, our unbelief is helped because we see. And God is here to do this today, to lift us up, lift our vision higher.
You can get ready. Where's Rachel? Come, Rachel. Those of you who have unbelief or feel my belief is not good enough, help my unbelief. Sometimes good testimony of healing will help you because people were healed on Friday night.
Good morning. I've had the same few diseases for about 12 years that I know of. And I've been prayed for many times and I believed. I know in my heart I believed. So it wasn't that I had no belief. I was waiting. And on Friday night, Kier said something that really hit me. It was so short. It was that the forgotten or lost twin of salvation is healing. So that I had to stop saying, I know he's going to heal me. When he heals me, I'm waiting for him to heal me. That kind of language. And when I would leave after getting prayed for, I'd feel more pain. And actually, after I left, I felt extreme pain, worse than before. So I knew it was a lie. Because why would it be worse out of nowhere? And I didn't sleep. And the whole night, I just kept saying, thank you that when I was saved, you healed me. And when I'd sat down, it was a quick prayer. I had a little test because the weight of what's in me would make it hard to sit and stand. And so I kept sitting and standing, and I just felt lighter. So I know that every day it's going to get better, and I just have to keep speaking over myself. And if you hear me complaining about pain, please help me to not do that. And I just have to speak in faith. But I just know that that's what did it. It was just, it's all in your head. It sounds easy to say, but to speak the word, it's life. So that's what I have to encourage you with.
Yes, we are. There we go. Wonderful. Morning, folks. Wonderful to be with you and to hear what God is doing and just encouraging you all. It has been a delight for Kelly and I to have been, I think, about a week with you, having been in some of your homes with the elders, deacons, and shared coffee, dinners, and Kelly gone shopping with many and explored the place. Just to be with Mark and Bridget, our dear friends from way back, and the massive history that we've had with them. They've been a massive encouragement to us as well. And so it's not this way, it's also this way. And it's a delight to having just to be in their homes to chat and talk about things. Also with Louise, who's there now. And we have loved our stay here, and we love this church, we love you people. And 2 years ago we were last here, so maybe 2 years' time or sooner we'll be back if it's there. But just be encouraged. Keep on walking, keep on talking, keep on putting your hand in the fire. And that is, I mean, you know, do the things that God wants you to, and you'll grow. This morning I want to talk to you a message called From Mesopotamia. You think, what in the world? You know, we can say the well of salvation, but the from Mesopotamia. And Genesis 24, if we would turn there, it's a story, it's a shadow of the real. And I want to share this with you this morning simply because I believe every one of us in this room will be at a place along this path and say, I'm there, I need to change this, I need to adjust that, I need to walk on here. And so instead of just ministering in one direction, say on divine healing, this also embraces that because it brings the larger picture. And when you see him, you'll receive healing, you'll receive salvation. And everything that he carries, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that he is, you can have. And this is a story about four people. The first person, as we read in verse 1 of 24. Now, Abraham was old. Abraham, he's the father in heaven. Well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, speaking of the Holy Spirit, his servant in charge, said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had. I want you to notice that. The servant, the oldest of the household who had charge, was in charge of all that he had, that the father has. And he tells him to make a promise. And he says, halfway down that verse, I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred, and take a wife from my son Isaac. Take a bride, which is the church, to the son Isaac, Jesus. So we got the father, Abraham, the servant, the Holy Spirit, Isaac, a type of shadow of Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church. And here you're saying, will you take a bride from my kindred, not from the daughters of the Canaanites? The Canaanites are foreign nation, foreign people. But a kindred, my kindred people, he is saying. And so who are these kindred people that he takes a bride from? First of all, their garments are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're washed in the blood. Secondly, those who know the word of God. Because the bride will need to know the word, the one who speaks. Those that know the word. Thirdly, those who know the mystery of eternity. That's what the church is about. First of all, that we are a blood-washed people. Secondly, we follow the word of God, not to follow the word of the world. And that we do know the mystery of eternity, that there is a massive future beyond the tomb. Fourthly, who are preparing for another world. That's what we are doing. We're not walking through this world trying to get on, you know, trying to adapt to this world with the kingdom message. We are actually passing through this world, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. And so many of us get stuck like Velcro onto the walls, trying to unstick ourselves and peel off and stagger down the highway of this Christian walk. And we so get entangled by the snares of everyday life, as it says in Timothy. And this thing seems to slow us down. But if we keep our gaze ahead, if we keep the full picture of what's ahead of us full in our view, then we won't need to bash against walls and things down the line. This is His people. You are His bride. Walk into this. The first one, who are appeased from the wrath to come. Who God's appeased His wrath. In other words, satisfied His wrath because He put it upon His Son Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew no sickness took sickness for us that we might walk in the righteousness of God. And the appeasement is deflection. It ricochets. Like you shoot, the wrath is there. The anger of God is real. It is wrath. Yes, that you talk to a man whose son has been taken to another nation and abused and misused for the representation of the nation that he sent from, the Lord Jesus from heaven to the world. It's the same thing. You think you'll be a happy father? No. If that was your child, you'd not be, oh, I understand, I'll pray for him. No, you'll say, let me at them. No, that's the wrath of God. Those who do not receive the message of this gospel will experience this. That's the truth. And so often we want to pamper this down and cotton wool it and marshmallow it and muffinize it and make it all nice and zhuzhy on a little tinsel thing and say, here's the gospel, people. Jesus loves you. Now, the other side of it is, yes, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and so on. But if you have not accepted the Son, you stand condemned already. Because you have not accepted. That's the flip side. That's John 3:18 or 17. But we're happy with the top, but underneath, oh my goodness, if you haven't received this message. And I believe that's the shake-up that kind of needs to come to some lives, is realizing that it's not all nice and easy and gracy and pinky. It's actually violet. It's blood. It's red. It's the reality. It's royalty. It's royal blue in heaven. It's purple. It's regal. It's king. It's this. And so it's the people are realizing that are called by the servant, by the Holy Spirit, are realizing that Abraham is very intentional about what he's doing. The Lord God is mightily intentional about what he's doing. Jesus has proved his intentionality about what he has done. And he's saying, come. And that's the church. And thirdly, for the last one is who are not under judgment. We are not under judgment. We will all stand, 2 Corinthians 5:10, before the great throne on the day. And we will be judged according to our faith righteousness. Not our works of faith or works of righteousness, but faith righteousness. Knowing what God has given us, and by faith we walk in there. Not by what you do or someone else's, but by faith. And when he sees faith, then you'll know that there's peace on earth when he sees these things. God's looking for faith. That's what he looks at. He wants faith. And if without faith, it's impossible to please God. First, you must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And so when we don't stand under judgment, we says, well done, servant, and you'll be rewarded or awarded for what you have done, not judged and condemned. Those who don't believe, they'll be judged and condemned. And so this message of truth is vital. And so with this, he wants to go to his people, to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Another translation says, perhaps, peradventure, she will not come. Those who have accepted the truth, but they don't want to come. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but okay, let's go back Let's go back to Isaac. I want him to take you to Isaac. No, hang on. I don't want to. Peradventure, she doesn't want to come. And that's the challenge of some, that those who have accepted the truth are not willing to follow, or not willing to walk in the light of truth. There's separation from man, from sin, self-denial, self-sacrifice, the ultimate and the extreme. It's this separates you from this. And so many people say, well, I intend to. The kingdom of God is not going to be full of intenders or pretenders. They're full of intentional and practitioners. They're going to be there doing the work of God, putting their hand to the purpose. So the servant said, Lord, perhaps I won't come. Perhaps the bride, this lady that I'm looking for, that I'm being sent to go and gather, maybe she won't come. And yes, there's always some who won't come. There always will be some who won't come. Because the message has come to this world. Some receive it. Some receive it and don't do it. Some just don't want to receive it. And that one, he's not coming for. You've heard the truth and it's over. And so there is this. And he was concerned. The Holy Spirit, I tell you, the Holy Spirit in this world right now, he's been here the longest. He was hovering over the surface of the deep before anything was created. He's here. He's the oldest on the planet. And he knows. He knows the humanity. He knows the heart. And he is concerned. And the Holy Spirit is saying, what happens if she doesn't want to come? And I think that's the compassion of God reaching out to the heart saying, come to me. Come to me. If your name has been called, if you've been there, he says, perhaps you don't come. Must I bring the son here to meet her again? And Abraham says, no. God says, no. I have sent Jesus once. He has given it all. He is not coming back to do this thing again. He's not on the cross again. And that very often our prayers are centered around that, as I shared the other night. Oh, Lord, come down again. He says, no, no, son and daughter. You are on a journey of going up. You're passing through this world. You're on a journey of going up. And friends, let me say, being a Christian is not a Sunday adventure or a Sunday expression. You know, we speak of revival and my heart longs for that thing. For the presence of God to come. And every single one of you in this room and your families and those that you know, they long for the presence of God. When he would just blanket, God steps down from heaven and he comes. And he prostrates himself upon the earth. Across the whole of Canada. Across the whole of Americas. Across the world. That's what he wants to do. But he is watching over his word. He's seeking whose heart is turned towards him. Turned as a vessel open, emptied for him to fill. Turned, or is it turned somewhere else? And God wants that. And everyone cries for that and wants it. Perhaps she won't come. And again he says, do I send my son again? And the answer is no. Let it never be, Abraham says. Then we move on from this. See to it that you do not take my son back there. Verse 6. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, and I will send his angel before you. And you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you are free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. There is the oath. There is the period of grace. There is the period of mercy that we are in right now. So the servant, he promised his master that. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of the evening. Let's pause on that verse 10. The servant took 10 of the master's camels, taking all choice gifts from his master, departed. Holy Spirit has come. He's left. He's here. It's right now. This is now time. He's here. Departed with the 10 camels, laden with gifts. And I often say, well, have you ever seen a camel walk? It walks like an elephant, two legs at a time. It doesn't walk alternate, you know. It doesn't do this. It walks these two. Than these two. And when you ride an elephant, you know why it's so uncomfortable. Especially if you've got shorts on, like a true African, shorts and no denims, and you get serious hair rash. I mean, the elephant skin's rough, and its hairs are not soft and zhuzhy with Stay Soft or anything like that fabric on it, or shampoo. It is rough, and you get off rather red in your thighs here, just for going 100 meters. So it's a rough ride, and the camel is walking through the desert, and it just moves. It's got humps, so it accentuates the movement, and all these bundles are tied on. And perhaps, you know, if there's 10 camels laden and something's not tied on strongly, it might fall off. Or one of the servants say, we don't need this stuff. This thing makes such a racket and it's always falling off. Let's just tough it into the wilderness and leave it out there to rust and decay. We don't need this on the journey. There's enough here, isn't there? And that's not so. You know, when God gives His fullness, wants to bless every spiritual gift with every gift of the Spirit, as the camels carried it with the servant, the Holy Spirit, and He wants to bring this to want to bless the bride, to bless the church, He has not dumped any of these bags. And let me say this, sometimes the church on its way wants to dump some bags. It wants to say, divine healing, we don't need that, it's a bit hard to carry. It's a bit hard to understand, so we'll just untie this thing and chuck it aside. We're just untie anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Let's get rid of that because it's rather challenging and because we are word-centered. Or about eternal life. Well, that's over there. We don't need to preach that in there. Or we just don't need to preach a message on hell because, you know, it's not popular. You know, we'll lose people in the church if we preach this. But that's the journey that this is all about. It's either to heaven or to hell. And so you've got to make people more aware of hell than they'll want heaven more. That's why Martin Luther, I think it was, is saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. How sweet that sound is. You know, when you hear the message of His grace, it's not the message, the message of His grace, says it twice in Acts 2, and you understand His mercy, how sweet that is. When you gaze over your shoulder and say, man, I could have gone to hell. Thank God for this message. I will sing Amazing Grace. It's so amazing when you see the fires of hell burning and licking there and some tumbling in. With the revelation of this, illuminates that, how sweet the sound. And yet sometimes this message is blurred because, hey, we don't want to talk about that. And this guy, we got to stay, it's got to be brazen. It's got to be fiery hot. And if you want revival, revival is not comfortable. It's absolutely messy. You cannot control the move of God. It happens, and you can't have your little duckies in a row with ABC, and these people are freak control freaks and organization freaks. It sends them mad, because when the revival comes, God hits the heart of men and women. And He explodes passion in their lives. That everything that's to do with unbelief begins to fade. Because the Maker, the Creator, has invaded the space that He righteously needs to occupy. Not, well, you can touch me, Lord, because you know what? I don't feel like it today. It's when it's nothing but God. And this servant is this passionate. The Holy Spirit is that passionate that He wants to invade every little basement, every little attic, every little corner, every closet in your life, in your heart. He's not a chooser. He's an invader. And He's intentional. And He's leading these camels. Who are these camels? The Ten Commandments that uphold the gifts of the Spirit. They are there in the wilderness. They don't do much. They're just 10 camels that come. And the 10 camels, I'm not saying in order to highlight the law or anything like that, but they're involved somewhere in this. You know, law highlights sin. If you don't know what sin is, then you don't know what the law is. And if law doesn't stand up, sin doesn't stand up. And so what's wrong and what's right? The thing is, today, everyone seems to have their own interpretation of what's wrong and right and everything that is righteous and unrighteous. Right? And even in church, let's get right in there, shall we? Even in church, well, you know what? We don't like what's happening here. We don't like what's happening down there. We're changing churches because we're miffed with that one. We're upset with that one. So we'll just cruise around. There's a whole culture of that in South Africa. The church wanders. I will wander round, around and round. That song, you know, Chris, surely. Everywhere. That old 1960s song, and that shows our age. Don't worry about it if you don't understand it. You must be younger than we are if you don't understand. And so they just cruise around, and they will wander around. We'll say, I don't like that. It's like you go to a restaurant. Gee, it was too salty. It was too hard. They're too underdone. And so you cruise around. The church, the kingdom, is not a smorgasbord of choice. It is meat and righteousness and truth in the Holy Ghost. And so it's a matter of just saying, listen, chew it. Get through it. Go with it. Go. What is your gaze at? Lateral? Sideways? Or, you know? And I'm passionately speaking, revival is just wanting one thing. Honoring and lifting the Word of God to a level that you have never had it before. It is this Word. Heaven and earth will fade. But my Word, it stands. Hey, I want the Word. Because where that stands, I stand. If I have His Word, I'll stand. And if it's still there and everything fades, I will still be there with Him. I'm alive. I can live again. Bone shall rise again. Wind under the skin. Something will happen. Ezekiel 37 will rise again as one man, as one church, and so on. And so, here, let me get back to this. Getting sidetracked. It's the shirts here. The reflections of it's the camel departed, taking all sorts of gifts. Oh yes, chucking the gifts off. What's another one? The second coming, maybe. Second coming. So when's that going to be in the timeline of scales? And what about the rapture? When are we going to, you know, the reverse bungee jump rapture? So when is that? Are we just we want to talk about it? See the whole thing of it. And so, you know what it is? Not one of the gifts were lost. Not one of the gifts of the Spirit were not present at the day of Pentecost. They were fully delivered. The Holy Spirit does not see one as more important than the other. But the church seems to define and think what's more important than the other. And so we have the thing of the prophets. We have the thing of divine healing over there. And we have this thing over here. And the pastor's forum of whatever over here. And I can think of names where there's specialization. Yeah, that's great. But I tell you what, it's the whole thing. I want everything. It's all of God. It's not part of God. It's not a segment, half a quarter of an orange of the fruit. You know, you just take a few segments out. You know, those segments of the fruit of the Spirit, that's mine. These, they're not important. You've got to take everything. And so none of these were left. And so these camels finally arrived. And verse 11, he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening. Jesus was crucified outside the city. The camels bowed their knee. The law and the prophets were fulfilled. Jesus says it's finished. They bowed their knees at the well of salvation, at the cross, at the foot of the cross of salvation, the cross of the blood of Christ outside the city. There's shadows and types here. And this is where the camels knelt down outside the city of the well of water. And the time of the evening, the time when the woman go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show me steadfast love to my master Abraham. Now the Holy Spirit, he just wants to please the Father. He wants to acknowledge and endorse the Jesus. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love for my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of all those people, the young woman, verse 16, was very attractive in appearance, and a maiden whom no man had known. The church is very attractive to the world. She should be highly attractive to the world. She went down, the maiden whom the Lord had known, she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her. Please give me a little water to drink from your jar, she said. Drink, my Lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. Just those words, she went down. She filled. She quickly. And she ran. There's like urgency, right? She went down. Now, I know, and Mark and Bridget have been there, and some of you in Africa, and probably in the East too, in the Nile River, in the banks of the Nile River, there's a place where you want to draw water. You don't just sink a well, and this is not a well like this. This is actually a hole in the ground where you actually go into the hole itself, and you go down until you get to where the water level is. And because it's like this, it's a cone, it's because you don't need to build the well. This well is movable. It's salvation for all, wherever you are. It's in every nation. It's not a one-type-fits-all. Salvation is for those who are willing to drink. It's not how you get there. But this one is where she went down, and she filled her jar and came up carrying the jar. She was physically fit, strong, healthy. A church that's healthy, fit, strong, healed. And she gave the Spirit of God, satisfied the thirst of the Holy Spirit, satisfied the 10 camels. Now, you don't want to satisfy a camel by running up and down with a jar of water. How long is that going to take you? How often is that going to happen? And who wants to do that? And so she did this. And it's not like we have to satisfy the law. No, you just have to believe. It gets better. You see, this is Old Testament. It gets better. But she went down and up. And you know what that means? It means, I believe this, is that her profile was being willing to be humbled. When you see the horizon, there she is. She disappears. She comes up. She's humbling herself. You know, as Reinhard Bonnke says, the altar call is not a protocol. It's not protocol that brings you to Christ. How are we going to do this? Now you invent a machine to bring the water up. Another way, there's an alternate route to salvation. No, there's only one way of getting salvation. That is humbling yourself before God. This woman was happy to humble herself before the servant, before the Holy Spirit. And in the process was able to do what was prophesied and fulfill what was required by Abraham in instructing him. And so she quickly did this. Friends, there needs to be an urgency, I think. An urgency, an awakening, a quickness, a quickening, a suddenly, an excitement, an expectancy. The routine, the mundane, every other girl was the city was standing there, but one girl went down and was willing to water the stranger, this foreigner, and it's a man, the servant, the Holy Spirit. She, the church, was willing to satisfy the Holy Spirit's desires and wants. And so she poured the water. What about the other girls? They're probably standing there. They could have been the same. Other people who are potentially churches or other Christians that could potentially be Christians or unsaved people were standing there and they were watching and shaking their heads saying, silly girl, does she know what she's doing? That's going to take a long time. It's called work. But you know what? She went down and up, and she was happy to because she sensed there was a future destiny locked up. There was something about this servant with the camels. Not often do you get camels all kneeling in a row in order there and laden with jewels and stuff. Her eyes were not on the jewels. It was beyond the jewels because she sensed there was something deeper. The surface did not attract her. The depth did. And you know what? When you come to salvation, you come and you humble yourself. That will bring change to your life. The church on her knees, the church with no profile, has the power to satisfy the world. The church is the well of life to the world, to the lost. And we need to, as people in the church, to be quick to fill our vessels, to take it to there. Whatever vessel you have, whatever gifting you carry, whatever you have within you, you can take it there. You become a camel to the world. You carry the jewels. You carry the gifts. You carry the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, that you may unravel them to the world. The world is hunting for it. Diamond hunters, blood diamonds, all this, Hotel Rwanda, all this stuff that's going on. They're after this, but they don't know the real stuff. Yeah, I mean, we'll walk on it in heaven. I mean, what's a diamond in heaven? Come on, gold. We'll just dust our feet on gold. And everyone's wanting gold. It's not the things of this world. We seek the things beyond this world. That's keeping that eternal vision. It's not being slowed down and Velcro stuck to the walls of the passage of our lives to try and go on. Be distracted in different areas. So she quickly did these things. Drink, my Lord. And she did this. Then the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms, weighing 10 gold shekels, and said, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And so on. I mean, she's done nothing, really. She'd just done this. So he goes up to one of the camels and takes out 2 gold bracelets and earrings. Bible say other things. But you know what? What she's done has been a result of what she's heard. And when you hear the Holy Spirit, you can do what the Holy Spirit wants. The servant, she put her hand into this thing because she was listening to another voice. And before she does anything, before she's earned anything, she chose to do this. She wasn't told to do this. You see, volunteer. You want to because you know there's something greater ahead. It's not, oh my goodness, now we have to do this here and we have to fold up that and pack that away and clean up over here and do this. Or the little kids at the back, the future generation that will carry this massive message to other nations that you'll never go. These little guys in the rooms here. They are the potential. It's just the rings and the jewelry. You know what? God wants to bless you from the day you start. His goodness and His mercy is to shower it upon you. It's not you thinking, I have to earn these things. The servant says, where do you live? Here, let me put these on you. Before you go back to your house, let me put these on you. What is it? Before you go back home, there's the favor of God upon your life. Before you walk back to your house from a meeting like today, there's a blessing upon you. And God's going to do that this morning. He's going to touch you. You want this presence of God? Yes, you want healing? That's just one little bag. What about the 10 camels worth of the other things that's there? And don't get caught up with the one little bag. It hasn't dropped off. It's still there. Divine healing's here. Salvation is here. It's the well. This is the well. There's so much more that God wants to do. I extol thee, O Lord. I mean, that song, how perfect. What else can you say? I magnify your name. How awesome is He? Amen. So these girls, they did not flirt. They did not fill the pitcher for themselves. Ah, the well's too deep. I don't want to go down there. There's not one who would refuse to give to God. Always receives. Never gives self-centered saints. She's always, some people always want to receive. Give me, Jimmy. Just give me. You know, touch me, bless me, goosebump. Oh, feathers. Oh, gold dust and all this stuff. Now I'm blessed of God. And you walk out thinking, God really moved that day. And next Sunday, none of that stuff happens. You think, ah, God's left. Come on. What's a feather? I want a gold. I don't know. Just Him. Forget the gold. I want the one who makes the gold. That's Him. And so some are so my picture orientated. My never prays, never testifies, never worships. Cold formal membership. People who know how to go down to wells of salvation, then give others what they have. That's what we need, the Rebeccas. We need the Rebecca kind of church. She does 3 things. She went down. Profound, huh? She filled her pitcher. Yeah, and she came up. Now, that's deep, dear. Yeah, it depends how deep you hear it. Some don't even want to go down. And they want everything. Self-centered Christianity goes nowhere. Self-centered Christianity is a problem. But selfless Christianity is giving of yourself. To whoever. I mean, Mark and I were walking around the market, was it? Market yesterday. You just bump into people and they boasted about Bridget. Said that, Bridget, she is amazing. You know why? Because wherever she goes, she's like the mayoress of Pickering. Everyone knows her. She walks in the shop, hello, hello, hello. And everyone acknowledges her. Why? Because she is like Rebecca. She gives the whole time. She is not self-centered. She forever wants to, she'll fill anyone's jar. No matter if you want it or not, it's going to come with Bridget. See, that's a perfect example among your mixed. Follow her. Learn. Follow her. I'm your shadow today, Bridge. Just follow her and you'll learn. And you know what? You'll get known too, because they know her, you'll get known. So what, the church spreads. Anyway, so Mark's also great. we gravitate straight to the swords. Ching! Oh, hell, look at this. And on there is the movie. This thing was made, so now you're making it. Anyway. Some never come up because they never went down. The further you go down, the higher you come up. You just need to disappear into the altar. Just get lost in God. 10 camels. There was a man who was a madman in the New Testament. He had a legion of demons in him. Here it's what, 8,000? 8,000? 6,000. Demons in one guy. Jesus pitches up. Guess what? Those demons can't stop this man coming to the feet of Jesus. So how powerful is a demon? I ask myself with tears in my eyes. It's just a saying. How powerful is 6,000 demons? I mean, this guy just sees Jesus. When you present Jesus clearly, and when Jesus is at the head of your boat in your life, these people will come to you. You won't have to find them. And the interesting thing, 10 camels, this man says, and Jesus, of course, he got delivered and he got saved and sat in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Asked Jesus, can I come with you in your boat? And Jesus says, no, you go to Decapolis, 10 cities. You be the camel to 10 cities. Just tell them my mercy. Just share the testimony. It wasn't fivefold gifting. It was just go and share about my compassion on you. And he had a whole ministry. He didn't go through 10 weeks of deliverance with 10 hands laid on him and all these things that we see. And when we think you're good enough, brother, then you can do these things because you know you're under our observation or whatever. And so we make so many hoops someone's got to jump through. But when someone sees Jesus high and lifted up, when they see Jesus, it's over. You can be normal. In fact, it's not good to be normal. You become dangerous to the area that you've just left. Because this guy destroyed the meat market of that town, this madman of Gadara. He did. That's why they threw Jesus out of town, because they were eating pigs and they were Jews and they shouldn't be. It's funny how Jesus uncovers things. And the pigs had more sense. They bungee jumped without the rubber bands. You've got to see the humor in the Bible. It's not that serious. Oh, get all serious. Never smile. Lean and mean. Prophet machine, you know. Just all narrow-minded. Everything's so tight in the scriptures. Oh, can never get there, and it's scary. You know, I laugh, I dream. I'm probably the biggest movie director in my own brain when it comes to reading the gospel, because it's so exciting. I love to smell the camels, man. Not for long, though, but if you do, you wake up. Whoa! Tears in your eyes again, you know. But then you hear, you see this girl suddenly come out that's different. And she looks different. She looks at the servant different. She didn't just glance and say another one of those. She glanced and looked at the camels and looked back at him. And suddenly looked beyond that to the horizon. And was knew there was a call, there was something specific. See, that's the church, that's the heart you need to have. It's not just look at the things that are there. Look at the things that are in those things and beyond there. And you see God. She quickly ran. She was awake, not asleep, to the presence of God. There was destiny inside of her. She was awake to responsibilities. And the light of the day, work. Many girls came to the world, but only one got the gift. The golden earrings, let's just go beyond that. So let's carry on. Goodness me. I can't be. She emptied it. Since when the camel's finished, let's go beyond here now. So what happened in verse 22? Basically, the bracelets and the earrings was the gifts being manifest to her before she deserved it, before she had said. You know, God wants to reveal himself to the unsaved. And when the unsaved begin to see and sense the supernatural, you know what? It's a sign and a wonder. This right now, she's in the sign and the wonder. She knew something was there, not sure. But there was a confession that she had to make a little further on. So they go to the house, etc. Let's go right on to verse 55. Her brother and her mother said, let the woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that, she may go. Here we get another parallel. The gifts had come, you know, tongues and interpretation, the bracelets and the earrings. How's that, eh? Just suddenly came from nowhere. The gifts and tongues and interpretation, just two things were added. And those are the two gifts of the Spirit that are not found in the Old Testament. Miracles and wonders, all found through the Testament. But of the vocal gifts, prophecy was the only one. But tongues and interpretation were added to the church. So she got these gifts and they went to the house. And then they said, wait another 10 days. Well, didn't the 120 wait another 10 days until the time of Pentecost to where the fullness of God? You see, all through this, there's a footprint of eternity. She's waiting. She was waiting. She was not ready. Another 10 days. Why? Why? I believe she learned these things. Number one, you've got to love one another. She's got to learn to love the servant, the strange man. Learn to love the ones that he was traveling with. Stand by each other. Secondly, manifest the gifts for him. Reveal what you carry. Next one, number four, display his riches and mercy. And this is how you're going to walk. Gifts given as they are the days of preparation, and we are in preparation. The gifts are given to help prepare us. Ephesians 4:11. The gifts of the Spirit upon you, the gifts within you. Three sets, three demonstrations. Why? To prepare the bride for the second coming, for the coming of Christ. So we're in the gift preparation, the gift interpretation, the bracelet on your wrist, and you had a vision, the jewel in your ear, and it said at least 10 days. And then we read on. It says, verse 57, they said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. Church, will you go with this man, the Holy Spirit? Some of you may not be going. Some of you want to go. Some of you have been going and are doing well. Will you go with this man? Will you go with the Holy Spirit? She said, I will go. So they sent her away. Rebekah, her sister, their sister, sorry, they sent. So they went away, Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And suddenly I got a new understanding of who "and his men" were in the prayer meeting just now. Who are these men that were with him? I've never seen this before. It's us guys. It's the pastors. It's the elders and his men. The Holy Spirit and his men. The church and his men. Those that are called to lead the church. They all went. We're all on a journey. The bride is the main thing. What were the men doing? They were there to watch the bride, defend her, protect her on the journey. And they all rode camels. Well, where they could find space on the camels, because it was still laden. He'd dumped a whole lot of gifts in the house of Rebekah's parents. You know, God just wants to show, you know, the ark of God, if it's in your house, it'll be blessed. If it's in the house of a Philistine. Yeah, it's the shirt, brother. I tell you, this is in the house of a Philistine, an unsaved person, he gets blessed. You know what? When you walk into someone's house, know the presence of God is with you and God's in that house because you're there. And blessings come. You don't have to earn it. Just leave a blessing. Read Matthew 10. And whoever's house you enter, bless it. If not, don't worry. Dust the feet off. Don't carry the pain with you. Go on. There's other cities to go to, other people to love. Don't let that thing drag your feet down. Don't carry the burden on the soles of your feet. The soles of your feet are peace. Walk in peace. And so, where are we now? So, there were the men that followed him. Verse 61, then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Verse 61, here we are on a camel. She's on the camel. Let me say this, the camel ride back to meet the Lord is not a smooth road. You're following this man, stranger. The Holy Spirit, this one who's come and just seems to bless and is so excited that you did what you did. And the excitement of following this stranger almost, this Holy Spirit, the servant, with your nursemaid, whatever that means, and then you got the men. But you're over this hill, down this hill, over that valley, up here, over here, sleeping out under the stars, traveling, going back to an unknown land. Never been this way before. Unknown place. And the whole time, it's a rough ride. You know what? Some of our lives are on a rough ride right now. It's abrasive. It's not comfortable. You wish you could get off this thing. Oh Lord, come quickly. Oh man, I'm going through a rough time. Mark, you don't know what I'm going through. No, he doesn't. But you're going through it. Hang on. Hang on to that camel. That's the only choice. Follow the servant. Keep your eyes. Excuse me. Keep your eyes on that servant. Don't let it go this way. And sure, other camel trains will be coming in that'll try and lure you off on their camel tracks and lead you under that palm tree and that oasis of promise. You stick with the servant. Many will come in my name and try and lead you astray with tantalizing things and sweet words. No, you just keep your eyes on the servant. Because what was the servant doing? The whole time the servant was telling Rebecca about Isaac. The whole time the Holy Spirit is telling us about Jesus. If we're listening and our gaze is upon Him. And regardless of, He also goes through those rough rides with you. And the boat on the storm on the sea. Peter and the disciples cross. I'll be with you just now as he dismissed the 5,000 that were just fed. He was going across the sea and he looked up and he saw a ghost on the water. You see, it depends how you see your problems. So sometimes in the problem you're going through, you're looking for demons all the time. And you misinterpret Jesus when he's standing right there. Lord, is that you? Bid me to come. Let me walk on the problem with you. In the storm, Jesus shows up always standing on the problem. On the camel. Stay on the camel through all the problems. Don't dismount halfway. Don't dismount in your walk. Even if you live your whole life and he doesn't come, keep on the camel. And the whole way through, just listen, because you are going to meet him, and he's going to be there. Now, the Isaac had returned home, verse 62, from Beer Lahoi Roy. And that means, I have given. That's what that name means. Jesus has given his all. Isaac has come from I have given, and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to, I don't think this is a wrong translation, meditate in the field. So, everyone says, there, see, New Age. Meditate in the field, I'd rather say went out to pray in the field towards evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up his eyes. Hear ye the word of the Lord this morning. Twice it says that. Lifted up the eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted. That's the only time you dismount, when you see Jesus. I'm off this thing. Thank goodness. I'll bandy, you know. The bandits. The bridge bandits. Sorry, I'm only playing with you. Relax. We do get on. Okay? Now I've lost the seriousness of this whole thing. So she gets off and she sees Jesus. Both looked up. And he's longing. You know, it's like the prodigal son, isn't it? Every evening he's out there gazing towards the sun. Wish he'd come back. Here he's out there meditating. This field is going to produce. When my bride comes, I trust the servant. He's going to bring the right one for me. He knows my heart. He's been telling her all the time about me. So when she gets off, she's going to know me straight away. And she looked up her eyes. She says, who's that? Servant says, that's Isaac. The servant gets off and he runs to him. The Holy Spirit is so excited that he can't hold back. He runs up to Isaac. The Holy Spirit is so excited about the church that he runs up to Jesus and starts telling Isaac, what an incredible woman this Rebecca is. What an incredible church and bride that Jesus is going to have. Why? Because she listened the whole way there. And the whole way there, she's just getting jewels upon her. She arrives like a queen when she gets off that camel. Who's that man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah his mother and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted, and this is after his mother's death and doesn't apply. But that's the story of the church. From Mesopotamia, let's leave. Let's go on this journey together. We're on the journey. Don't get off your camels. Just keep a hold on to him. And yes, We've learned a little on divine healing and what Mark's teaching you about grace. Learn that. That's the Spirit through the servant and his men. And his men telling you about him. So don't throw your pitcher down. Keep it full. Be a camel to someone else. Be the master to someone else to tell them about this Lord Jesus. Win the lost this way. Amen.